You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Him too?
Cool. Wow. Really?
No, well, I do too. I didn't know that, you know, he did.
You do?
This is John Peterson.
And Gordy Young.
We do John and Gordy in the morning, normally in WMDX, and we're filling in for Pete.
We fill in every once in a while. As I probably warned you
in a promo.
Yes. I think everybody's been warned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Pete's taken a couple of nights off because he has all this vacation time that he didn't know he had. And now he's like, got to burn it off. It's use it or lose it.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, sometimes you find out you have vacation time and you realize that you need to take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times in radio, you don't really get vacation time.
Right.
So that's why we never really look for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't expect it.
Here we are.
And Conrad is with us this evening. Good evening, Conrad.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for filling in. It's awesome.
We love it. We like to be in here.
We always have a good time here. And
coming up a little bit later on, we've got my wife.
she's here.
Ann Voss Peterson, author and our guest tonight. And we'll get into a whole bunch of different things, her career, books she's written, and we'll talk about movies as well, because she always seems to know more than me about movies.
And you know a lot.
And so I know a lot.
She knows more than you. That's a lot.
Well,
that's a lot more.
I let her think so.
Yeah. And we have another guest lined up later in the show.
Yes, we do.
Scott Dickers.
Scott Dickers, who was in on The Onion at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll tell us his story because he has a book out.
He has a brand new book out called The Onion Story. I went to Barnes and Noble today to try to buy the book and they were sold out.
Yeah.
They didn't have any.
Yeah.
And then I was checking the Barnes and Noble on the other side of town and they also didn't have it. So, you know, we're flying blind as far as the book goes, but that's why we'll have Scott. He'll explain to us what's in there. But I was listening to an audio, the Audible book or whatever. What is it called? Kindle? I don't know.
Yeah,
anyway.
The Kindle version?
Yeah.
Sure.
And your name is mentioned in this because we knew Scott Dickers. You knew him. I didn't really know him, but way back.
Yes, we had him on a radio station out in Sun Prairie.
Yeah.
And we had Onion News.
Yes. And he actually was talking about that in the part that I listened to.
Isn't that crazy?
So you are in the book.
I was hoping to be a part of that history.
Well, now you are.
It seemed like everybody had forgotten. And we had a few guests. By the way, we had Onion reporters on our cable access show as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've got a clip from that coming up in just a little while.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our cable access show here in Madison was in the late 80s.
Yeah. Remember when, you know, cable companies were required to have access channels?
Yeah. For
local
the general
channels.
Public could
right.
have people could
voice.
Create their own shows
yeah.
and do their own thing.
Boy, a lot of people had some really fun shows here. Vernon Evelyn was one of the great programs here in the Madison area.
Mm-hmm.
There were two mice.
What mice?
And there were voiceovers for the mice, and they would introduce different segments of the show, and real human beings would be in the segments.
They also had another cable access show that I loved, which was called What's Your Problem?
Yes.
Two guys with
Grumpy.
A phone in between them.
Yep.
Just sitting on the set there.
That was great stuff.
No set, really. Just two chairs, you know, and they would take phone calls and people would call and complain about whatever they wanted to complain about. It was
exactly.
a great concept.
Yeah, it was great.
You can call us this evening as we continue to fill in on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. The number is 855-752-4842.
All right.
So,
Well, I think it's about that time for the Nightlight question of the night. What do you think?
I think we need to hear that music, Conrad.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question.
Question. Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Questions.
We do have a question.
Night. Okay, so apparently it's Steve Zahn's birthday. You know, famous actor. Mm-hmm. And he's played a lot of different parts, but a lot of times he plays a dad in the movies that he's in, right?
Yeah.
So what actor is that you like out there that plays a dad in a movie or a TV show, TV or movies?
Was it?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Who's your favorite dad actor? You can call us or text us. Again, the number is 855-752-4842 or text us.
Your favorite actor who played a dad.
Right.
So that's TV or movie.
Yes. That's the question.
All right.
Okay.
So should we reveal our choices tonight?
Is that what Pete usually does, Conrad?
Yeah. I think you guys should go right ahead.
Well, let's just, you know, let's break the mold here.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's go nuts. Let's rebel. If he didn't do it, we would do it anyway.
Well, should we ask Conrad first?
Well, you know. Conrad, I mean, you're younger.
Well, Steve Zahn is, I mean, it's the reason I came up with this question is because he's played one of my favorite dads in Die Every Wimpy Kid. He plays Frank Heffley, and he's just hilarious in it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. John, do you have a favorite TV dad?
I do. It's Ward Cleaver.
Oh.
Now I go way back, right?
Hugh Beaumont.
Yeah, you can pick up any of these shows on like Fubo and Freebie and all these other free commercial channels,
whatever they are. Yeah.
And if you watch the early versions of Leave It to Beaver,
mm-hmm.
Hugh Beaumont is on there playing Ward Cleaver. And I actually modeled my fatherhood on Ward Cleaver.
Oh, really?
Yes. I really did. I wanted to be what he was in the show.
Mm.
And the thing is, you know, when the kid gets into trouble, you want to have a conversation with him.
Of
you want to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
And the one way he did this, he had Beaver sit down on the edge of the bed.
Right.
And he sat down on the edge of the bed, and they had a really great conversation.
Yeah.
And I did exactly that.
Yeah. How'd that work out for you and your boys?
It worked out wonderfully.
Did it?
It did. Yeah.
You still do that?
They didn't know why I was doing it. Why are you sitting here, Dad?
Well, back in the early days of television, though, in the 50s, it was like these TV shows got onto this thing where they had to have a moral to the story.
They did.
So Leave It to Beaver. Yeah. Beaver always got in trouble somehow. And usually it sort of really wasn't his fault. But he got talked into it.
Well, Eddie Haskell was a problem.
Eddie Haskell was a problem. Yeah. And my favorite TV dad, I was trying to think of somebody. It was a little different. I liked Tom Bosley from Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
He was just
bubbly.
You know,
he was a bubbly, happy
guy. Yeah. Great actor.
Yeah.
And
very recognizable voice. He was on everything, every ad on TV.
Voice. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. So if you have a favorite TV dad, you can call us or text us and let us know.
I think we kind of stumped everybody because no one has
nobody knows
that kind of memory.
You think so? Oh, yeah.
What we'd like to find out. I mean, if you'd like to give us a call, please feel free to do that. 855-752-4842.
That's it. Yep.
We'd like to hear from you and talk about your favorite memories of these TV and movie dads.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There's so many to choose from.
Is there really?
Well, there have been a lot of shows.
Yeah.
A lot of movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I was trying to think of what other TV dad could I possibly
emulate? Well, remember Father Knows Best? I mean, that was another one where had to always be a moral at the end of the story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can't remember.
Robert Young.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a dumb show. Father Knows Best. He always had to straighten out some controversy between the daughters and the son.
You'd think with a title like that, you know, he and the wife would not get along at all.
Right. Yeah.
Because that never works out if you think you know more than the wife.
Yeah. Mom is kind of left out.
Yeah.
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 So.
Well, what's the other one?
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of Paul Peterson was on the
Donna Reed show.
Donna Reed show.
Who was that guy?
He played a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carl Betts.
Carl Betts.
Betts?
Betts. Betts.
Okay.
Carl Betts.
Okay.
And one of the great TV shows of all time, really. And I can't remember what season it is. Maybe it's 4 or 5.
Oh, Donna Reed show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's singing My Dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Paul Peterson.
Oh my God!
They plant. It was a high school a talent show.
Yeah.
And he sang My Dad on it, but Paul Betts's dad missed the show. And they went backstage, and
Paul Peterson's
dad,
yeah,
Carl Betts, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, they're, you know, this is way too convoluted.
Okay. Getting in the weeds on this thing. Yeah. Anyway, it's a big dramatic scene.
It's a really dramatic scene, yeah. And everybody was in tears at the end of it because it was something else. And Paul Peterson did a fantastic job of acting that out. Yeah. I mean, his bottom lip quivered and he had tears streaming down his eyes. I don't know how they did that.
Well, and it turned into a big top 40 hit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking also Ricky Nelson, the Ozzy and Harriet show. Ozzy Nelson.
Yeah. What a character that was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, boy, he knew what to do, didn't he? I mean, he started all the video craze, having, his kid become a pop star.
Yeah. Ricky Nelson.
Yeah. On the show.
Had all those hits. He'd sing out. He'd always at the end of the show sing a new song, right?
Yeah. You know what? One of the things that when I used to watch, I mean, you could catch these videos anywhere. Rick Nelson singing from those shows. They have those video clips, but when you watch it, it seems like he really is kind of detached from the audience because they always played in front of their friends at a small party, and everybody was there oohing and aahing.
Yeah.
Him, right.
Yeah.
But he acted like he was. Well, I'm just singing this song, you know, yeah. I'm a pop star now. Don't worry about it.
But they had that lighting perfect and soft focus, you know.
And Traveling Man, remember they had all the videos of the different locations around the world?
We're going way back in time.
Well, see, we really disconnected. All right.
Okay. Okay.
I've got a really big story about something that has to do with a dad.
Really?
Actually, yeah, a dad was trying to relate to his son, and he tried to teach him the language, the Klingon language from Star Trek.
Really?
Yes.
The dad's trying to teach his kid Klingon.
Yes, he's trying to teach him Klingon.
Where did this come from? What? Who is this? Tell me more.
Well, it's a British actor and comedian, Stephen Fry. He decided to perform in the Klingon Shakespearean play Hamlet, and then he interviewed a linguistic specializing coach on Klingon. Mm. And the coach apparently told the story about him trying to teach his kid the language of Klingon.
Wow.
And I have to tell you that I hated the Klingons.
Yeah.
I hated their history because
they were evil.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but, well, I guess so. I mean, some of them. But, you know, they had all this history, and they created these stupid practices, and, you know, it just was really a kind of a dumb storyline, and they kind of filled a lot of time with it. So, we're going to play that. We're going to play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to play.
You've got that.
The actual cut. We'll play it for
All right, stand by for that. Yeah, we got that coming up. Also, we'll be talking to Scott Dickers about the new Onion book, The Onion Story. And novelist, author, and wife of John Peterson.
That's
and
right.
Voss Peterson will join us a little bit later.
Being wife is the real job.
Oh, boy. Okay. It's going to get interesting.
I know.
Okay. It's Nightlight. It's John and Gordy filling in for Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're coming back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete is off tonight. John Peterson and Gordy Young filling in this evening. We're getting a bunch of responses to our question of the night. Your favorite TV or movie dad.
A big hello to Tom out of New Berlin.
Yeah.
Also, Eric, Chevy Chase, love all the vacation movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those were
good,
great.
Good dad.
They were good. Kurt says, Brian Keith, Family Affair.
Okay.
Well, yeah. You know, I didn't like the kids, though. I don't think he liked the kids either.
Little kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of a pain.
Something about red hair.
And Sebastian Cabot is the butler.
I know.
Like they needed a butler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they need a butler?
I don't know.
Somebody to watch the kids. I don't know.
And Tom said, I hope that some Waukesha, Milwaukee boomers hear your silly and truthful thought. There you go.
Okay, Tom.
I know it is silly. I know we went a little long on that stuff. Who is this? Kwai Chang Kane in Kung Fu, The Legend Continues.
Okay.
I missed that.
I missed that
season.
But thank you, Leon from Oshkosh.
So should we get to listening to, you know, what it's like to be somebody who's trying to teach a kid Klingon for some stupid-ass reason?
This is amazing to me. Why?
Well, it's cut 93.
Okay.
And let's see if I'm accurate in selecting this cut, I believe.
You think you're just picking a number?
I'm just picking a number, and I'm hoping that it's the right one.
Conrad, do you have that ready to roll?
You look mystified.
Yep, here we go.
All right, here we go. Of Shakespeare's Hamlet. Berol! Backstage, before the performance, I chatted to a level 4 Klingon speaker. Darmont Spears is a computational linguist who took the rather unusual step of teaching his son Klingon as his first language.
We had a lot of fun. We would play language games. So I would say things to him like, Nuktak och kevpobuja, and he would point to my cheek. Where's my cheek? And I would say, Nuktak och richleja, and he would point to his nose.
Wow.
And then one day we're playing on the carpet in the living room, and I had his bottle that he would drink from. And we didn't have a word for bottle. We didn't have a word for diaper. We didn't have a word for, you know, a high chair.
Yeah,
you know,
most domestic things.
Exactly.
They're not very domestic people, the Klingons.
I had words for shuttlecraft and phaser and transporter ionization unit. I didn't have bottle, right? So we were using the word for bottle that is like a drinking vessel, a givjet. And I said to him one day, you know, we'd had this game, you know, nukdak och, this or that. And so I said to him, nukdak och givjetlejet. So I used the word for bottle. I used it with a suffix. I used it in a sentence. I didn't point at it. I didn't look at it. I didn't do anything like that. And this two-year-old kid, you know, baby, infant, toddler, started crawling over towards the bottle and grabbed the bottle.
Oh, Gertrude!
One of the other things we did was we had a lullaby that we would sing every night.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The Klingon Imperial Anthem. Tach Jaj Wo. May the Empire endure. And we sang it as a lullaby.
Picturing this little baby in a sort of Pooh Bear onesie singing the Klingon Empire.
Absolutely right.
Song.
As he went from about 2.5 to 3 years old, he stopped. He stopped being interested. He stopped enjoying doing it with me as much. So I would say something to him in Klingon, and he would say it back in English, and I would try to encourage him. And he started to resist it. And, it was fun and it was interesting. And when it stopped being fun and interesting, I stopped doing it.
Klingon was little use to Darmon's son in communicating with the outside world. And that is the key factor in whether a language survives and flourishes or dies.
Well,
it's the weirdest thing.
It is.
I can't imagine doing that.
To your child.
To your kid.
You don't even have a word for bottled yet or diaper. You know, do you need a new diaper? You know, something like that. And instead, it's all Klingon.
Conrad, are you a big Star Trek fan? Would you?
I am not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the original TV show and then the Next Generation.
Yeah.
And
Next Generation. I watched that.
And the movies.
All the movies.
Yeah.
Sadly, all the movies. There were some not so good.
First couple were pretty good.
Yeah.
Then it kind of started going downhill.
When the new Star Trek movies came out.
Yeah.
With Christopher Pine. Those were really not all of them were really good. the first two were extraordinary.
Yeah.
After that, they just fell off the face of the earth, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, you know, Captain Kirk's toupee started looking really bad by the third movie. It really just looked like a hair hat. Got worse from there. Okay.
Are you laying into William Shatner? You know, your big hero of mine?
Is he?
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, I like the guy.
Oh, I think he's great. Yeah.
He has one of the great acting careers of all time.
Oh,
He was in so many different shows, so many different movies. But here, the one that I remember most is Thriller with Boris Karloff.
Oh,
you really should check those episodes out online, Thriller. There's one where he it's the Grim Reaper.
Oh.
And there is a Grim Reaper picture, and this picture comes to life magically and kills people.
Okay.
And he doesn't believe it. He thinks it's just a myth, you know, something created to make the picture more interesting.
Yeah.
And he finds out the hard way it isn't like that. I kind of gave it away, but definitely check it out. It's very scary.
And then there's the William Shatner Twilight Zone with the guy out on the wing.
On the wing.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that great?
That was a classic Twilight Zone episode.
It really was.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Let's see. You know, when we come back, we're going to tell you more about the big showing that we're having in Madison of The Godfather of Green Bay, the Pete Schwabe movie.
Yeah, we got a couple clips.
Yeah, we've got some of that coming up. And
Scott Dickers.
Scott Dickers will be with us in just a few minutes.
He's written a book about The Onion. He was one of the beginners of The Onion. He was right there with the other two creators or three creators.
Yeah, that book is called The Onion Story. And we'll be talking with Scott shortly. On the Civic Media Radio Network, it's John and Gordy in for Pete Schwabe on Nightlight. Stay with us. You can do it, my love. All right. Let you know, girl, you're looking good. You're out of sight. Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, John and Gordy filling in tonight. Mm-hmm. And in just a moment, we'll talk to Scott Dickers. He's got a new book out called The Onion Story, and we're going to find out more about that. We want to remind you that we are going to be showing The Godfather of Green Bay here in Madison at the Atwood Music Hall. This is going to happen on Thursday, December 4th. It's a great little movie. Pete Schwabe is in it. This is the 20th anniversary this year of Godfather of Green Bay. And WMDX here in Madison, the Civic Media Station. Mm-hmm. We're hosting that along with our friends at Downdrin's Distilling. And it's all to benefit the Dane County Humane Society. But that film screening, again, is going to be Thursday, December 4th, 7 p.m. And we have information at our website, WMDXradio.com.
That's right.
It's going to be fun. Pete put together a great little movie. And who else is in this? Tony Goldwyn.
Yes.
And Lauren Holly.
Tom Lennon.
Tom Lennon. Yeah.
Lance Barber.
In fact, it's great. Great film. Do we have Scott Dickers on the line?
I think we do. Yes, we do.
All right.
Hi, Scott.
Good evening, Scott.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you doing?
So nice to see you here. I did not expect you. I don't know how long I've been in your virtual waiting room here, but I can't put up with this crap anymore. I'm an important author, and Mr. Dickers has been waiting for like 5 or 10 minutes to talk to you guys.
So
I'm glad to finally be with you. We need to keep talking about William Shatner.
Do you have some William Shatner experience to tell us about? Or?
You know, people often ask me, where did the name The Onion come from? Did it come from the fact that it's so funny that it makes you cry? And I'm thinking, oh my God, imagine if we had that much hubris that we named it that, because we knew how funny it was going to be to people. But William Shatner wrote something that made me cry, and it was just a beautiful piece of writing. So he went up in Jeff Bezos' space rocket recently.
At
90. Yep. And he came back and he wrote this little brief couple of paragraphs. I just was weeping. Because they always said, like, and there's a line in the movie Contact where they say, where Jodie Foster goes into space, and they always send the scientists and stuff, and she says, you know, they should have sent a poet. And obviously, she's speaking through the voice of Carl Sagan. That's what he always thought. You need to send a poet to outer space to adequately communicate the awesomeness of that experience. And here's William Shatner. You know, he's kind of a, no offense, John, but he's, you know, he's kind of a joke in the world of acting.
No, he is. He is.
Yeah, people, all the other actors on Star Trek hated him, you know, all this other stuff.
Right.
And he's seen as kind of a lightweight. You know, he's in the Airplane sequel, for God's sake. So, but he comes back and he writes this beautiful piece of writing that just like, that's just like a shot across the bow that really sums up what it must be like to be in outer space. And I highly encourage you to look that up and read it. Amazing piece of writing.
I did actually read it back then. Yeah,
you did read that. You know what I'm talking about.
I did. Oh, yes. Yeah. It was really inspiring. It really was.
Amazing. And
it, I think it shows his character. And I don't know why a lot of people didn't like him on the set. Maybe he was a little rude to them, or maybe he was just very, you know, much into character. I don't know what it was. I think he and Leonard Nimoy got along. I think that's.
George Takei, I think, was the main person who didn't like him.
Didn't like him, right? Yeah.
And I think everybody else was jealous. He's the leading man. He's good looking. Gets all the girls. You know, why would you like a guy like that? You know.
I know. Yeah. He always, you know, played the captain part. You know. I'm the captain. You know.
but he's so affable. He seems so nice and friendly, and it does make you wonder, like. Was that a him problem that people didn't like him? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe so.
I don't know. Let's talk about your book, though. I mean, this is a really fantastic book. We were checking it out before we
went. It's backwards, guys.
We're seeing it okay.
You see it good. That's just me. Yes. That's wonderful. Yep. Yeah, that's the book.
Yep,
it's almost as big as my head. You can always tell if the book is good.
Well, I went to Barnes & Noble this afternoon to try to get it. It wasn't at Barnes & Noble on the east side. They didn't have it on the west side. I don't know. It's sold out already, their first few copies. But so tell us about the book and why you came to write this, Scott.
I wrote this because I wrote a similar subject matter book a long time ago, just about how the Onion rose. It's almost like a business marketing type of book, like how the Onion got to be a name brand. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple of inquiries from a couple of different companies saying, hey, would you be interested in selling the movie rights to this book? And I was like, the movie rights to a book about marketing? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And one of my agents was like, no, you should write another book that tells like the emotional story, the personal story of what it was like to be starting up the Onion in the original group of people and then seeing it through for 30, 35 years or whatever. All the ups and downs, all the crazy characters. And I thought, that'd be fun, you know, because I have every issue of The Onion. I have all these journals from the time. And I talked to a lot of people who did that journey with me or part of it. I don't know if there's anybody who was there the same like amount of time I was. Almost everybody else kind of was in and out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was really fun. Like most of the books I write are comedy books, and then recently I've been writing books about how to write comedy, but I've never done anything like a memoir or a serious like nonfiction book about my own life. And you're in it, John. You're in the book. Have you found yourself yet?
I actually did. I had the cut all ready to go, but yeah, I couldn't upload it for some reason. It wasn't going up.
We have the Audible
have that. But I thank you for that. That's wonderful. Yeah, we put
you
on the air.
You were an important part of the Onion's history. You were part of the first iteration of the Onion Radio News.
Yes.
Well, it was great because you also mentioned Bob Abella, who had a great audio studio here in Madison. Yeah. And we all, you know, crossed paths back then.
And John worked there. And Catherine Lake was in on a couple of those sessions that we had as well. And she's the program director here.
Jay Rath and Pirate Radio, all that kind of sprang from those days.
Yeah, that's kind of a hidden story of the Onion that people don't realize is the whole radio story of the Onion.
How it
was a very parallel track that the Onion radio show was on. And for a time, the Onion's radio show had a far bigger audience, if you're to believe the Arbitron ratings at the time, than the print publication ever had. So, it was on radio stations all over, you know, the country. And it was.
They were great stories. They were really funny. Great stories.
They were fun. They were so much fun. And yeah, so there's this whole like underbelly of the Onion in the world of radio that was fun to write about, you know. And I and a lot of other staffers at the Onion worked at Wisconsin Public Radio. I worked at a bunch of radio stations in Madison. I was just thinking during the break when you had the news on, the news guy came on. I was thinking of this radio station I worked at in Madison back around the time the Onion was getting started. And it was I had a morning shift. I would get there at 5 a.m. and I would play like Dick Cavett's Comedy Hour and you know, a bunch of other like shows on a record album we'd play for an hour. And a guy would come in and do the news at the top of the hour for 5 minutes. And he was just like the laziest news guy in the world. And he came in.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, he would come in, and one day he was drunk. He literally was hungover from the night before. And he came in and he recorded the news once on a cart. And he says, play this every hour for next. he didn't care, you know, no. If, you know, LA dropped into the sea between 10 a.m. and noon, as long as he could go back home and go to sleep. So it's just like a lot of fun times, you know.
What station was that, Scott?
I wish I could remember the call letters. No, it was one of the AM commercial stations, like an AM talk station. Okay. I just don't remember the call letters.
Yeah.
One of the main ones, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that sounds like fun. I mean, I think we had that newsman for a little while here.
Yeah, did you? So we probably ran into
it. Didn't work out, though. We thought we'd give him a second chance.
Yeah.
But, Scott, you know, I mean, the whole thing started, I mean, with your cartooning, Jim's Journal. You know, you it became very successful. You and the other people. I just read part of the introduction in the book, but you know, all these other cartoonists were together, and you were making money from a little bit of money, right? Yeah. And you were selling T-shirts and paraphernalia,
and you syndicated that cartoon, Jim's Journal, that was in other papers, right?
Yes, Jim's Journal was a really big success on campus before the Onion came around, and oddly, later on, when the Onion was kind of really cooking a few years in, we realized that like the majority of the writing staff had all been cartoonists at the Daily Cardinal at one point.
Yeah,
and really? It's just like this weird pipeline. Yeah. But no, I mean, it wasn't really a result. The Onion wasn't a result of Jim's Journal so much as I was kind of in that orbit. And James Sturm, who had this really popular comic strip called Down and Out Dog at the time, James got into business with this guy, Tim Keck, to do a one sheet calendar that he distributed to students. And they made a few $100 having James draw some drawings, and Tim sold some advertising on it. And it was kind of like a proto Onion. Mm-hmm. And Tim was gonna, I'd heard that he was gonna approach me about doing a Jim's Journal version of that calendar. And then it turned out he wasn't, because he had moved on to bigger things, which is, hey, I'm gonna do a whole weekly newspaper every week. And he brought in this other business guy, Chris Johnson, and they wanted me to run Jim's Journal and the Onion. I didn't. I came up with a bunch of other comic strips to make for them and help them write jokes and edit and stuff. And, you know, we were off and running. And after a year of that, they got tired of it and they sold it to me and to other people who were, you know, we seemed to have a lot more ambition for it. And Tim and Chris just ran themselves ragged that first year and they wanted out. But yeah, so it was just a crazy series of events and the right people in the right place, the right time.
How long did you stay with the Onion?
I mean, I left many times.
Yeah, you kind of came and went a few times.
Right? I came and went. Yeah, so, and sometimes I would just leave. I remember telling Tim and Chris after 6 months, I told Tim and Chris, I've done enough. I kept doing my cartoons, but I didn't show up at the office and help anymore for like 6 months. And it was after that period, they came to me and said, we'd like to sell it to you. So I leave, and then, you know, they pull me back in. But
yeah,
then it happened again where I left in the mid 90s to make a movie. And then I left in the late 90s. I thought for good. I'm like, okay, I've done what I can with the Onion. I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And then I sold my shares in it, and then the new owners like invited me back to run it for a few years. And yeah, there were things like that where it was kind of come and go. very strange.
Were you involved with the television show that eventually spun off with that?
I was the executive producer of the web series that led to the show, that got us the deal for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And the show was it was unfortunate because I watch it now and there's definitely some funny parts in it, but I don't think we were ready to do a TV show. I think we were trying to get our legs with the web series and we were doing really well. And we had agents just like begging us to do a TV show. And I kept telling them, nah, we're not ready. We need a little more time. And then as soon as I left, the writers that were there just jumped at a TV show. And, that's how that goes.
Scott, hold that thought.
Yeah, we got to take a break here.
We're going to take a brief time out here. We'll continue our conversation here with Scott Dickers, author of The Onion Story.
On Nightlight.
Yes, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is Nightlight with Big Trauma. John and Gordy filling in tonight on Civic Media, the radio network. We have as our guest today Scott Dickers, who has The Onion Story, a new book, and it is taking off. And I've got to say that, you know, that chapter, the audible version of it is fun to listen to.
Of course,
you narrated, of course, Scott, but it sounds great.
I appreciate it. We did that through Brilliance Audio, the Amazon audiobook production people. So it was I learned a lot. But I appreciate the kind words, you guys. It's an editor's pick on Amazon. I never had a book be an editor's pick before, so that's exciting.
It's terrific. It
a lot of visibility, and it was a number one new release in a couple of categories. So normally I would poo-poo somebody says really taken off. That's marketing speak. The marketing people told you to say that. But in this case, I think it's actually happening.
It's actually true. Yeah.
Now we've got a clip from our old cable access show.
Well, we really love The Onion and we really backed you guys up a lot.
And you have the receipts.
I do have the receipts. And we have a clip that we can play. This is cut 86. And
now, Conrad, we only want to play about a minute and a half or two minutes because it's a longer clip.
It's about 4 minutes, and that would take up all the time. But this is it's Rich Dom and Graham Zielinski. And Graham Zielinski, he used to be part of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. he was kicked out. He had that kind of sense of humor.
He was also fired from The Onion.
Oh, really?
Is that so?
Wow.
Back in the day, he's a friend of The Onion, but, you know, sometimes you have to fire your friends.
Yeah. So they're talking about some of the early stories.
Some of the early headlines that we presented to them in order to, you know, find out what they thought about those important stories that The Onion covered. Let's listen to it.
All right.
This story, I bet, stunned many, many people. This is a warning to the new students. The university administrators plot the execution-style murders of thousands of freshmen. Now, this is a story I didn't happen to read in the Wisconsin State Journal or the Cap Times.
We're always the first to break the news, as you know.
Well, do you recall anything from this story that, did you stop the execution of these freshmen?
Well, you know, once the university process gets going, it's pretty hard to stop those things. apparently there was a clerical error, and many students' names were misspelled, and so they were ritually executed for their, rather than fix the error.
I want to set the record straight. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable at all, but I really don't think it's fair to compare us to, like, Madison newspapers or even like USA Today, Gannett newspapers, because, I mean, I don't want to question their journalistic integrity.
But you've worked too hard.
We've worked too hard to be scooped by those jokers, and we're a cut above, clearly. I mean, any person with any news sense would see that that's a story. They pass it up. They had a little brief on it, I mean, but they just mentioned it offhandedly.
And this is probably one of the most...
Graham was on voice there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you guys know what became of Rich Dom?
No. No, what happened?
No.
He went off to Hollywood to pursue a career as a writer, and he ended up being the executive producer and showrunner of The Colbert Report.
Oh, No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Terrific.
That's great success. And, you know, they did have a lot of references to Madison in that show, too.
Yeah. I'm sure Rich had no small part in that. I thought you guys were going to drag out the clip where you had me on your show, which I have on a VHS tape somewhere.
Yeah, I sent you a couple of clips. Yep. Yep.
but that's great. Yeah, those guys are great. We used to do that a lot. I talk about this in the book, where I would put different people out in the media to represent the Onion so that the world wouldn't identify one guy like me as the lone genius behind the Onion, like the leader. I always wanted people to be confused as about who was running it, who was in charge. No, seriously, because it worked because the point was to have the brand, the Onion, be the star, not any individual writer or person behind it. Yeah. And that really did help the Onion survive. A few times when we had to make a move and we lost a lot of employees, any other comedy publication, you know, would have suffered because readers would say, oh, so-and-so left, it's not funny anymore. Yeah. But it was always just the Onion, and it looked like the Onion, sounded like the Onion. They didn't know who was coming or going. And that was very much by design.
Scott, we just have a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you about the Onion today.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone through several different owners, and what do you think of the publication edition coming back as a print edition once a month?
I love it. I think it's great. When they stopped doing it in 2012, I was there and I was very unhappy about it. And the new owners are great. Yeah, they had a bunch of really sketchy owners that didn't know what the hell they were doing. The new owners get it. They're really supporting the writers. And the writing staff has always been pretty much in a cocoon. But it was tough for a few years there where the bean counters and you know would come in and try to affect the content. But now they're left alone to flourish. If they have an idea, it gets a budget. So I'm really happy for them, and I'm delighted by the new owners. Global Tetrahedron is the name of the company that...
Wow. Sounds like a spy organization. Well,
it's a company name that we invented for our book, Our Dumb Century. We mention it in the very last page of the book. There's a, you know, the book is a bunch of front pages from The Onion from the year 1900 to the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And it came out in April of 99, but we printed the front page from like January 1, 2000, just because The Onion can predict the future. So why not just publish a book with a future newspaper front page in it? Yeah. And one of the stories was richest 1% escapes Earth in, you know, the space pod. And the company that all other companies had merged into is called Global Tetrahedron. You hear a company that's put together by a journalist and a billionaire or whatever, and they're called that. I'm like, okay, these are fans. They get the Onion.
Absolutely. Excellent. Yeah. Scott, we got to leave it there, but thanks for joining us. If people want to find out more about your book, The Onion Story, or find out more about what you're up to, how do they do that?
I mean, if there was some kind of tool in the modern world where you could enter put the name of a book or a person, you know, just tell it the name and get information back, I would say go there, but we don't have anything.
So. Somebody's working on that already, so we'll have to wait.
Global Tetrahedron will invent something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.